today we are starting a challenge. And this challenge is called, kids, you can be dismissed. Like they're getting out of here. Like that man's crazy. So we are starting what is called the red letter challenge. And what this is a challenge for us as a church, because as I've told you guys for the last 4 or 5 weeks, I feel like in the 3 years that I've been here that we've kind of drifted as a church. And so I believe God is calling us to a challenge. God is calling us to get back on track. God is calling us to get back to what he established this church for. And so this red letter challenge, what it is we're going to look at over the next 40 days, over the next 6 weeks, we're going to look at all of the sayings of Jesus. And in most Bibles, the words of Jesus is highlighted in red. And so hence, that's why it's called the Red Letter Challenge. And so today is the introduction of the Red Letter Challenge. And so this week, tomorrow, I want you guys, if you've purchased your Red Letter Challenge books, and if you can see, we also have the shirts, and you still have time to get those. We still have some books and some shirts left. And if we need to order more, just let us know. But tomorrow, I want you. We're going to all start with day number one. All right, and each day we're going to go through this book. We're going to go through it, and the life groups and the discipleship groups on Sunday, we're all going through this together. And so start with day number one and keep going. And then when we come back next Sunday, or when you meet with your discipleship group or your life group, you're going to discuss what you've gone through. And throughout this book, there is a devotional, there are different challenges, and each day you build upon, and it gets more and more challenging as we go. And I believe that this is important for us as Connect Church, because can I just say it the way I feel it? I believe we're in a fight for our life. But me knowing the history of this church and being a part of this church even before, I'm not sure if some of you guys know, when my wife and I planted a church called Victory Church, we actually met here at Connect Church on Saturdays. On Saturdays at 6 p.m. We planted a church September of 2014. And so we met here at Connect Church. And because I was connected to Connect Church, I got a chance to watch Connect Church, and I got a chance to be involved, and I was privy to some of the inner workings of what was going on and some of the challenges that was going on. And I think I've said this before, I was just so impressed on how Connect Church was just galvanized together in the challenges that they were having, and they just leaned in and leaned on God. And I believe we need to get back to that, to where we are leaning in and leaning on God and not just going through the motions. And so that's why we started the fast, because there's nothing like a fast to get you back into a place with God. And can I tell you, I don't want to know what you fast from, but I pray that you took this time to really draw close to God. Because I can stand here as a pastor, as a preacher, as a believer, and tell you, I even had started to drift. And I had to bring myself back into a line to who God called me to be, and just to make sure that certain things didn't have a hold of me. And that's what fasting does. Fasting gives you the opportunity to bring back into control some things when you may have gotten out that may have gotten out of control or started to creep that way. And so if you fasted from social media, I mean, man, it is just so easy. I left my phone over there. It's just too easy to just click on Instagram, click on Facebook, and you're there, and you look up, and you've spent 10, 15 minutes or so just scrolling. And so that's why we decided to fast. And so coming off of the fast, I believe it's time for us to really now challenge ourselves to doing what God says. And so I believe that when we put God's words into action, we find the life that God has designed for us. When we put God's words into action. And that's one of the other things that I've started to notice is that are we putting God's words into action, or are we just coming to church? See, that's an easy drift for us as believers. We can get into this habit of just coming to church, checking it off. It had gotten so routine for me that after church, I could tell you exactly what I was going to do, how long I was going to do it. I was going to come to church. I was going to stay here around till about, 12 or so, make sure I shook some hands, hugged some kids, and then I was going to ease on out, and then I was going to go get something to eat, and then, I was going to take my treasured Sunday nap. But that's how we easily fall into these traps. That's how we start to drift. And so I had to challenge myself. I had to fast. I had to push away from some things. And then I had to ask God the question, God, show me. And I hope that you did the same thing. I hope during this fast, you were honest with yourself and you was honest with God, and you asked God to show you. God, where am I missing the mark? God, where am I starting to drift? Because as a fellowship of believers, if we all are drifting, we're drifting away from God. And then when you bring in this global pandemic, I mean, it's just a recipe for drifting. And so we as believers, we have to stand up and recognize, man, I'm off. Something's off. And so over the next 40 days, we're going to look at these five principles. And the first principle that we're going to look at is have we gotten caught up into more doing, or are we being who God has called us to be? Because there is a big difference, and there's this challenge of should I do or should I be? Is being versus the doing. But here it is. It says, I said this Following Jesus means being with Jesus and doing what he asks. It doesn't have to be either or. It could be both and. We are called to be followers of Jesus Christ. We're called to be with Jesus, but we're also called to do what Jesus asks us to do. And so that's going to be the first principle that we look at. And I'm so glad that it started out with, that this challenge started out with that, because sometimes if you've been a Christian for a long enough time, you get caught up into the doing. That's where that routine comes from. That's where the religiosity comes in at. It's more about checking it off. But as you're doing what God asks you to do, as you're serving, as you're going out, as you're doing all of these things that God asks us to do, are you still spending time with Jesus? Do you have a dedicated time of prayer? Or have you gotten to the point to where now you just, I don't have a camera in nobody's house, so this is just an example, okay? So if this you, this is just an example. But have we gotten to the point to where as we're just brushing our teeth, we say a prayer? God, I thank you. As you brush your teeth, God, thank you for a great day today. God, thank you, God. God, you're so good. God, I pray for my friends. I pray for my family. And then you go on about your day. Is that your dedicated time of prayer? Are you routinely, are you making it a priority to be with God? Are you making it a priority to take time to pray? Are you taking time to just, sometimes it doesn't even take prayer. Sometimes it's just stilling away and just quieting your mind. This is a big thing that my wife is always on me about. When I'm in the car, I'm driving. I spend a bunch of time in my truck driving. And so I always have on 105 The Fan, or I'm listening to a podcast. I'm listening to something. And whenever she's in the car with me, she always says, do you have to have something on? Do you always have to have something on? And so during this time of fasting, I was conscientious of that. And so I turned it off. And sometimes we say that we don't hear from God, but there's so much noise going on in our lives that we can't hear him. Just noisy. And so the first principle that we're going to look at is the principle of being with God. And I know a lot of people enjoy the doing, but our doing should be a result of our time spent with Jesus. Because if you know ministry the way I know ministry, ministry is very messy. I thought I would have some more amens than that. And I don't know how, I mean, I can't not spend time with God and be in ministry. Because if I don't spend time with God in ministry, some of you will doubt even if I know Jesus. I'm sorry, I'm just too transparent. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I know I'm the only one that's like that, but yeah. And see, oh, here it is. So one of the other things, one of the traps that we get caught in this doing versus being is, we can sometimes get caught in this trap of, man, I've memorized scripture. Man, I know scripture. Oh, so if our mission statement says making disciples of Jesus Christ, and we only memorize the scripture, have we accomplished anything? If we can take that where that text comes from in Acts, and we could break it down into Greek, and we know the Greek meaning of it, have we accomplished anything? Okay. If we study the sentence structure, and we know if it's in the passive voice or if it's in the active voice, if we know if it's a pronoun, if it's a verb, if we know all of that, have we accomplished anything? That's what some of us get caught up in. We get caught up into so much of scripture, and we get caught up into studying, and all of those are good. But if you memorize scripture, if you know the Hebrew and the Greek, if you can break a sentence down and tell me if it's in the passive voice or the active voice, and if it's a pronoun, and this is a verb, this is an active verb, this is a non-active verb, you can tell me all of that. But you haven't spent time with Jesus. What have you accomplished? That's what we're going to look at in this first week of being with Jesus. The second principle that we're going to look at is forgiving. And I don't know about you, but I feel like just in the first week I've been in just looking over this, like, God, do you really love me? Because you're beating me up right now. And this thing about forgiving, I've shared with you all before. This is a challenge for me. Is this a challenge for anybody else in the house? Thank you for your honesty. And so we're going to look at forgiving. Because, you know, it's so easy for us to get caught up into what somebody did to us, what somebody said to us, how it wasn't fair. How could they do that? I can't believe you did that. But here's the thing. There is nothing that can be done to us or against us that we do not have the power to forgive. I know that's a hard one. It's hard for me. Because I'm standing here right now with some unforgiveness in my heart that I am working on each and every day. I'm talking about somebody that I love dearly. But we must learn how to forgive. I'm going to move on from that one. Is that okay? All right, so we're going to look at forgiving. Then the next week, we're going to look at serving. How do we serve? Why do we serve? Can we serve with excellence? And that's the point that I want to drive home, is that when people walk through the doors of Connect Church, they should feel and see that we are serving them with excellence. And what is excellence? We're going to have what Connect's version or Connect's idea of excellence is. And Connect's idea of excellence is going to be higher than any other idea. Because when people walk through the doors of this church, they should feel, see, and hear excellence. From as simple as how we open up the door, to how we serve them coffee, to how we welcome them into this worship area, how we receive their kids, how we take care of the elderly, how we take care of the sick, should all be done in excellence. And you can't serve in excellence if you're not willing to sacrifice. And you can't serve in excellence if everything has to be about you. When people walk through this church, we want them to know that, man, we love them, we care, and how can we help you? And this may be a newsflash to some, but this is not a private party. Everybody's welcome. Now we do have some guidelines and we do things in excellence. Now, I said everybody is welcome, but I didn't say that everything goes. Please make sure that you understand that. Everybody's welcome, but not everything goes. Amen? Why? Because we are operating in excellence. And I really want you to understand this, that what we do and how we live can point people to a real relationship with Jesus Christ. If somebody walks through these doors and they are struggling, and the first person that they encounter has a smile on their face and says, man, we're so glad that you're here today. You don't know the impact that could have on somebody's day. And so we're going to serve with excellence. So in the third week, we're going to look at serving. The fourth week, we're going to look at giving. Whenever you talk about giving, nobody really wants to talk about giving, but everybody wants to do ministry. And everybody wants nice stuff. These seats that we're sitting in, are these nice seats? Now, I'm not saying that nobody couldn't give them to us, but typically, they don't just give those out, right? They cost something, right? So we're going to look at giving, but the way that I like to look at giving, I look at it not just from a single act, but I look at it from a lifestyle. And one of the things that I really want to walk us through and teach us is a lifestyle of generosity. And we have some very generous people here at Connect Church. Very, very generous people here. I've been in one other place, but to see individuals give the way that individuals give here, man, it blowed my mind. We have some very generous people here. But we also have some people that have not been taught that tithing is part of what God commands us to do. But tithing in and of itself is a single act. But when you live a life of generosity, it just becomes a part of who you are. And that's what I want to walk us through and help us to start to adapt and start us to embrace is a lifestyle of generosity. And I think that sometimes we've let some of these TV evangelists and some of these prosperity people, they've kind of tainted the gospel in a sense, but God's word is God's word. And God is faithful. And God does call us to give. But he doesn't call us to give expecting something in return. But here's the thing. He never lets us give and it's not given back to us. But you don't give expecting it. And I can tell you that for Tanya and I, we were taught a lifestyle of generosity years ago. And we've seen some ups, we've seen some downs, but man, I'm telling you, God has been faithful to us. I can recall one time when Tanya, I used to own several businesses, and in 2008 I lost everything, and man, we had to move. I mean, it was horrible. And so we moved from a big 4,500, almost 5,000 square foot house to a house that we had to rent, and man, we were struggling. And God touched somebody's heart at our church to just come by our house and bring us a cashier's check for a large sum of money. It just blowed me away. I was telling my son this the other day. He and I were talking. I said, "Son, do you know that I've had two people give me cars? I mean, two people, cars that one person drove the car to my house, put the title in the seat, and called me and said, 'Hey, there's something in your driveway.'" Why? Because my wife and I, we are givers. We live a lifestyle of generosity. We've given away rooms of furniture. But see, we can't let these TV evangelists and these prosperity people get us out of what are the promises of God. Now, what we give, we don't give expecting anything in return. And here's the thing that I've learned. I don't give to expect anything in return, because what I might expect in return might be way smaller than what God has to give me in return. And I'd prefer to have what he has for me than what I could think of myself. So I don't give to get anything back. And I'm telling you, where God is carrying us as a church. And we have done a tremendous job of being generous. I mean, we give to missions as a church. I mean, we support several missionaries locally and globally. I mean, we do a lot here at Connect Church. And that's why I can stand here and tell y'all with all confidence that God is going to take care of us. Why? Because we take care of God's business. And so I want to teach us on a life of generosity. Because a life of generosity starts with this. It starts with nothing belongs to you anyway. You are a steward. We are stewards. It all belongs to Him. And so we're going to look at that over the next 40 days. And then lastly, we're going to look at going. How do we go? We talk about this idea that Connect Church exists to make disciples of Jesus Christ who love God and love people and impact the world, but how do we do that? And so as a church, we're going to walk through that. How do we go out and do that? And so we're going to look at what it means to go. But here's one thing that I need to prepare you for, is that when we go beyond our comfort zones, we begin to experience God in ways that others miss out on. I'm going to say that again. When we go beyond our comfort zones or our comfort levels, that's when we begin to experience God in ways others miss out on. Why do you say that? I say that because your willingness to get uncomfortable will determine the level that you go. Because not everybody is willing to get uncomfortable. It's so bad that if we hold church past an hour and 15, people are starting to get uncomfortable. Like, man, he's preaching a long time. I thought church was supposed to be out at 12. Here it is, 12:05, and he's still up there talking. Most people are not willing to get uncomfortable. But there has been this commercial on it. Every time I hear it, it just stops me in my tracks. It's Matt, what's the actor's name? Matt Damon, yes. And he says, fortune. Say it. Fortune favors the brave. Man, that just does something to me. Fortune favors the brave. And I don't know if y'all have picked up on this or not, but I'm challenge oriented. I love a good challenge. And if you guys knew how uncomfortable I was right now, you would have no idea. I didn't come here to be in this position I'm in now. I was going toward building a real estate development company. That's what Aleem Bakari wants to do. God has other plans for me. I am very uncomfortable right now. Can I be really, really, really transparent? And y'all okay with it? I really didn't know that I would be the pastor of a predominantly white church. You talk about uncomfortable? I'm from Oak Cliff. How did I end up here? But I'm willing to get uncomfortable. I'm willing to go. Why? Because I trust God. And I fear God first, but I trust Him. Because can you imagine telling God, no, God, that's okay, I pass. You can try. And see, I've tried that before. I was called to preach at a very young age. And at the time, I had a very, 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 very bad speech problem. And when God called me to preach, I couldn't put two words together. So I said no. I went to the Navy. I mean, as far away from my church, my pastor, and my mama, I'm going in the Navy. When I got out of the Navy, I said, I'm going to go drive trucks. I'm going to drive all around this country. You ain't going to catch me. But one time, God caught me on the backside of Wyoming in all places. And I'm driving my truck in Wyoming, and God just broke me down. Just broke me down. And I'm trying to give y'all some insight and some advice. It's better for you if you get uncomfortable willingly than to wait for God to break you down to get you there. And so, but here's the thing, as we're getting uncomfortable and as we're going, We must make sure that we are living out our faith in the process. Why? Because people are watching. And when we look at this idea of going, sometimes I think we make it too hard. You mean I have to evangelize? So you mean I have to know scripture? You mean I got to memorize scripture, you mean I got to tote my Bible around? And I mean, no, doesn't have to be hard. Going can be as simple as going to when your neighbor next door, who you probably don't know, just starting to speak to him. Hey, how are you? And the next time that y'all are pushing out the trash together or sitting out the trash, hey, how you doing? It doesn't have to be hard. It starts simple. And then let God do what God does. Let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does. But what we're called to do is to just show up and to be available and to do what he asks us to do when he asks us to. If God tells you to bake a cake and take it to your neighbor, just do it. If God asks you to start speaking to the person that you've walked by thousands of times and never even said hello to, going doesn't have to be hard. And so I want you guys, I want you all to know this, that following Jesus is the greatest opportunity that we will ever have in our lifetime. Amen. It's the greatest opportunity that we will ever have. But the thing that we have to ask ourselves, are we really following him? Or are we going through the motions? And so that's what this red letter challenge is going to take us through over these next 40 days. And so next week we will be preaching on the first one, and I'm excited for it. I've gone through it and I've looked through it, and I want to see if you're really going to take the different challenges that each day ask you. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to either email me, put it on Facebook or something, but I want you to share what this red letter challenge is doing for you. I want you to share your experiences. And that's how we grow. That's why we are in a community of believers. Because when I see you have stepped out, I'm like, man, if he stepped out, man, I can step out too. Man, if she took the challenge, man, I can take the challenge too. And so we need to build off of each other. And so I just pray that we pursue Jesus Christ as a church like we've never pursued him before, that we pursue Jesus with every fiber of our being, and that we take pleasure in being invited to be a part of what God is up to in this community and in this world. And man, I pray when it's all said and done, that each and every one of us get a chance to hear God say, good and faithful servant, amen? And so that's what I'm excited about. I'm excited about what God is going to do. I'm excited to hear how this is going to affect you. And then if you, during the fast, if God spoke anything to you that you think connect, that I need to know, or you just want to share, I want to hear it. Tell me what the effects of the fast had on you. I want to hear it. And I don't care what you fasted from. I'm not here to judge you. I got my own issues. So I'm saying that again. I have my own issues. So I gave up some stuff. And so, but I want to hear it. Because I want us to continue to fast. We're going to fast throughout this year. So at this time, I would love for us to all stand as the praise team comes. I want to pray for us, and then we're going to break our fast with the Lord's Supper. And so if you don't have one of the elements, if you could can raise your hand and someone will get you one. If somebody, there's some folks over here. There's some folks over here that doesn't have some. There's some over there. All right, if you don't have one. So I just want you guys, I want the church to know that I would not want to be any other place but where I am right now. Than where I am right now, to be doing what we're doing, to lock arms with each and every one of you, to watch what God does in our life and in the life of Connect Church. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, dear Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of grace today. God, we just thank you for who you are. Thank you, God, for the closure of the fast. God, I pray that our hearts are more synced with your heart. I pray, God, that we took this time to draw closer to you. God, I pray that you wrapped your loving arms around us, God, as you do, God, and reminded us, God, that we're yours, that you're in control, that nothing catches you by surprise. And God, I'm reminded of what the song says, God, that even when we don't see you, God, you're working. God, even when we don't feel you, God, you're working. And so, God, I thank you for what you're doing and where you're at work at, God. And God, I thank you for inviting us to participate, God, in where you are at work. And so, God, I thank you for each and every family that's represented here, God. God, thank you for this church family, God, that have embraced my wife and I, God, and made us feel at home. And call us family, God. So, God, I pray for strength and wisdom and guidance, God, as we go through 2020. 22. God, that above all things, God, that we trust you. Your track record dictates that we trust you. Because you've never failed, God. And you won't fail us. So, God, I just thank you. And so, God, as we take the Lord's Supper, I pray, God, that it's a reminder. Because your word says, as often as you do it in remembrance of you. And so, God, as we begin to take this, God, I just thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. And so, in the book of 1 Corinthians, it's recorded in the 11th chapter and the 23rd verse. It says, on that night when he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, God, I thank you for this bread, God. I thank you, God, for it's your body, God, that was broken for us. And when he had break the bread, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he took the bread. It says, in the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant. This is the cup. The cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's take the cup. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy way shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a person must examine himself, and in doing so is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For the one who eats and drinks and eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not properly recognize the body. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number are asleep. For if we judge ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with this world. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you, God. Lord, I thank you for that phrase, God, that says, God, as often as we do this, God. And so, God, I just thank you that every time we do this, God, that we do it in remembrance of you. Thank you, God, for your son, Jesus Christ, who came, God, and was crucified, hung on a cross, God, and was raised on the third day. God, I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for this church being the bride of Jesus Christ. And thank you, God, for the stewardship. And God, I pray that we are found, God, being and doing who you call us to be. In Jesus' name we pray.